I'm glad you're here, and glad you starting out the new year the right way, and in church. And I'm glad you're in Sunday school this morning. And we're going to be in the book of Acts, or I'm sorry, not Acts. We finished Acts, by the way, Wednesday. And for those of you who would like to come on Wednesday, on Wednesday at 3 o'clock. We have a service, and at 6:30 we have a service, and I teach the same, but we're going to move over and be in 1 Thessalonians starting this Wednesday. So another good Bible study, and so I would encourage you if you'd like to come. And again, I teach the same thing at 3 o'clock that I do at 6:30, and encourage you to come at one of those services. And but this morning, there we are, back to this morning, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to continue on with our study in Genesis and Noah, and again, I just think the Lord's timing is always very unique, and as we start into the book of Genesis here, in 8, Noah is about ready to, yes. Genesis. Did I say Acts again? I have Acts on the mind. We're going to be in Genesis, and so if I say Acts again, we're in Genesis. And here in Genesis, Noah, he is about ready to start out on a new venture, and this year is we're going to be starting out something new, going directions that we've not gone before, and so it'll be an exciting time here. But I'm going to have Cleo come up, and he's going to read for us Genesis chapter 8 and verses 1 through 14. Genesis chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 14 this morning. All right, Brother Cleo.
Good morning, beloved.
Good morning.
Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 14. God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he also sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand, and took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf bucket. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st day, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the seventh day, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried.
All righty, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us here to gather in your name. Lord, to have time here in Sunday school to study your word. And Father, I just pray now that you would have your will and your way in this class time today. Lord, I pray that you would be with those who are en route to church even now, Lord. And I pray for those that are not with us this morning due to illness, Lord. I just pray that you'd reach down, touch their bodies, Lord. I pray that you'd heal them, Lord, that you'd make it possible for them to be able to be with us in church. And now, Father, we pray that you would have your will and your way in this time today. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, as we look at some things here in the book of Genesis here in chapter 8, the first five verses, what we see here is God remembered and moved on the behalf of Noah and the animals. And we see that here in the first five verses, and I'm going to go through here and kind of point out some things to you that the Lord showed me. And I just really kind of, as we go here to verse number one, the Bible says, and God. Also in verse number one, it says, and God remembered, and God made. I just really kind of thought that was interesting, the way this started out. And as I studied this out and I wrote my notes, I wrote up here at the top, sin has an effect on all. And judgment of sin has an effect on all. As we think about Noah and being on the ark and God judging the earth, God judged the earth and God judged man because of their sin. Now, what's really interesting, God does judge sin. God will always judge sin. But there's two sides you can look at. You can either be in the judgment, or you can be brought through the judgment. And what I mean by that is the people that are in the judgment are those who are running from the Lord and have sin in their life, and it's unrepentant sin, and that's what we see here, and that was the reason for the flood. And now again, we know that Noah was not perfect, but the Bible says that Noah was a man that walked with the Lord. And what God did is God made a place for him in the storm, or what we would say maybe through the storm. Now, he went through the storm, he saw the storm, but he was protected from the storm in the ark. And I just really kind of think that's interesting, because here it says, and God remembered Noah. Now again, it's not that, because sometimes what it may appear when we go through storms in our life, what it may appear is that God has forgotten us. I know that there's been times in my life when I've been going through some things and I've kind of scratched my head and I kind of wonder, you know, does God still know that I'm here? You know, I would almost imagine Noah, all of the time that he was spending on the ark in the protection of God, if he kind of got a little nervous and his family and everything that was going on, and I kind of wondered the amount of time that he spent in the ark, he probably got to the point where he was wondering, does God still remember I'm here? Because the time Noah spent almost a year in the ark. Now again, we can only imagine how that must have been with eight human beings and then all of the animals in the ark for almost a year. Now again, I know the ark was large and big, but I would almost imagine it after every day it got smaller and smaller and smaller. I remember when my wife and I we bought our first big camper. That was the one that we had out here for a little while. And before then, you know, we were in we would always just kind of, you know, somebody give us a really good deal on a small camper, and we bought this big camper, and we thought, wow, you know, this is a lot of space. You know, each day that we spent in that camper, it got smaller and smaller. And I remember the first time I went to sell it, there was a young missionary couple, and they had six children. And so they come and looked at our camper, and I explained to them that it slept four without having to put anything else in there, and I told them how they could do it, and the wife, she said, no, she said, I've got to have one that has a bunkhouse in it so each one of my children have a bed. And I told her, I said, well, I said, what you got to keep in mind, because they were planning on living in it, I told him, I said, what you got to keep in mind is every day that you spend in here, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. I said, if you look at this camper, and yes, you may have to put up a cot for a child, but during the day you fold up that cot and you have the space, the living space. I said, because when it rains and it gets cold, you need more living space than you do sleeping space. And no. And later on, her husband, they went out and they bought they bought a brand new one, paid a whole lot of money for it, and each one of her children had their own private bunk. But when you opened up their camper door, there was the table and a couch, and that was the extent of their living space in this big 40-foot camper. And her husband later told me, she said, or her husband later, he told me, he said, you know, he said, I wished I'd listened to you. But anyway, I said all that to say this: Noah, I'm sure by the end of a year, was feeling very cramped, and he probably might have been questioning in his mind, did God remember him? And chapter 8 starts out here and says, God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle. Now, this is what I think is the key to this verse here. That was with him in the ark. Now, God remembered them, and as we talk about remembering, it wasn't that he forgot. What we're talking about here is God took care of them. God put them in a place of safety. God put them in a place of protection. Everything that God did with Noah and the ark was for Noah and the animals and the things that he put in the ark. And again, what can we draw from that? The ark was God's will for Noah. And when we're in God's will, and when we're in God's place for us, that is the most protective place. That is the place where we will be remembered by God. Not that God forgets us, but we will be remembered by God, we'll be cared for God, and those who are in the ark with us. And again, as I kind of think about the home, and I think about Noah, and I think about the ark, and everything that was in there, you know, it just reminds me of a home, and actually that's what it was. It was the home that God put Noah in to protect him from the judgment. And so it starts off by telling us that God remembered Noah and he took care of him. Well, then it goes on to tell us how God took care of him. And the Bible says, God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assaged. Now, that wind that was passing over the earth was different than, I would imagine, probably the wind of the storm. In everything that was going on in the storm, that wind and the purpose of that wind was to move around the water. And the Bible says here, and the waters assaged. And what that means is the waters begin to move, the waters begin to dry up, and God began to do a work to prepare things for Noah to leave the ark and to start off on a new life's venture. And then in verse number 2, as we see, the Bible says the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. You know, there's some things that God stopped. And as you remember, when the judgment came and the storm started, the Bible says the fountains of the deep broke up and the windows of heaven were opened up. And again, there was water, torrential water coming from Noah at every direction. And the Bible says that God stopped that. And you say, well, you know, what does that have to do with anything? Well, when God puts God judged the earth, but also God in his time put a stop to the judgment. And then it says, and the water was restrained. And then it goes on to say, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And again, as we look at that, as we think about that, God stopped one. Our God stopped two, but the third one, he allowed at points to continue. It says it restrained, so he didn't stop it. The rain from heaven, they would see rain from heaven again, and we'll get into this a little bit later. I'm sure probably the next time it clouded up and rained. You know, for us, we don't even think about it anymore unless it's, we get a tornado warning or, something really bad's coming or we don't even think about it much more when it clouds up and it rains. But I'm sure Noah, probably the first time it clouded up and rained again, I'm sure he probably was quite scared. But then it goes on and it says, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated, and so it took 150 days after the Lord stopped the windows of heaven and the fountains of the deep. It took 150 days for the water to come off the earth. And the Bible says here, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Now, there's a lot of speculation today. Is the ark on Mount Ararat? You know, I don't know. And I would probably venture to say it's probably not there now. Let's think about this for a minute. You know, and again, I know we watch all the programs and the planes that go over and we see it underneath the layers and layers and layers of ice. All right, now think with me a bit on here. I believe it landed there and it stopped there because that's where the Word of God said it landed and it stopped. Now think with me here for a moment. I like working with wood and stuff like that. And the big thing today is doing things with reclaimed wood. You know, I believe Noah was the first one that built a house out of reclaimed wood. And I would almost imagine after almost a year of being in the ark with Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives, I would imagine he probably took some wood from that ark, went quite a distance and built a house for Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then went quite a distance and built another house. And again, you got to think about the animals that were on the ark. There needed to be barns because again, God stopped the windows of heaven and He stopped the fountains of the deep. But again, they were going to see rain again. They were going to see times that there needed to be shelter. And what I believe now again. Somebody might be able to go up there and find remnants of the ark on Mount Ararat. But, you know, I wouldn't go up there expecting to find it because I believe what Noah did. And again, if you think about it, the wonderful grace of God, that was a lot of building material. The reason I believe that the ark landed on Mount Ararat and not is because it can be proven or not proven is because that's where God's word said it landed, and that's where I believe it was. That's where it landed, and I also believe that Noah used it for their benefit. And then it goes on, and the waters descended continually unto the tenth month of the tenth. Of the tenth month, and in the tenth month of the first day of the month were the tops of the mountains seen. I would almost imagine, as in the process of time, that probably was a blessed sight for Noah, just to be able to see the tops of the mountains. And then as we look at the next verses here to the end of the chapter, the scene kind of changes here. And what we do is we see Noah's great patience in faith. And the Bible says in verse number 6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And the Bible lets us know at the end of 40 days he opened up the windows, and then he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro unto the waters until the waters were dried up from the earth. And also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. Now, Noah, you just kind of think of Noah here for a moment. The rain had stopped. They've been floating around. The ark stopped because the Bible says it rested there on Mount Ararat. And now Noah, after 40 days, opens up the window, and he releases two birds. And the Bible says that raven went to and fro. And again, as I kind of pictured this in my mind, and I was trying to think, okay, Lord, you know, help me to understand something here from these two types of birds. We've seen in the sky, you know, a raven, you know, will get out and they will soar and kind of float through the air. And again, their wingspan is just much wider. And the Bible says that it went to and fro until the waters dried up from the earth. And then in verse number 8, it tells us that he sent forth a dove to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. And he sent out two birds here. And as I got to looking at this, the purpose of Noah sending out the birds was he was looking or waiting on confirmation, but he was looking for proof that the waters were continuing to dry up and that there would be a time that they would be able to leave the ark. Now, as I think about the two birds here, and I was thinking about a spiritual application. The Lord gave me this morning, and I just really kind of thought it was interesting. Both the raven and the dove are God's creation and have different abilities. Again, as we look here in verse number 9, the Bible says, "But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she returned unto the ark, for the waters were on the face of the earth, the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him, unto the ark." You know, and I got to thinking about these two birds, and I got to thinking about us as children of God. You know, sometimes we look at each other, and the Bible tells us not to do this, but we do. We compare one another with each other. You know, the Bible tells us not to do that. You see, these birds had two different purposes. These birds were designed differently. The raven and the raven's wingspan, the build of the raven, was designed to be up in the sky. And we've all seen this at points where they just soar and they just kind of float through the air and seemingly with no effort at all. Have you ever watched a dove fly or a pigeon fly? They're a very large, heavy kind of a bird, and they probably do a lot more fluttering. They don't get up there real high, and if you watch them fly, just about the whole time that they're flying, their wings are flapping away, because of the design of the bird. And again, the Bible says here that when he sent forth the dove, he was looking for proof, because see, that dove will go from place to place looking for a place to rest. Not because it's a bad bird, it's a different design of a bird. And folks, as I think of each other, and as I think of children of God, we're all designed for God's purpose. And we all have a different design. Some of us soar, and some of us spend a lot of time flapping our wings. And some of us move quickly, and some of us move slowly. And some of us develop quickly, and some of us develop slowly. And again, some of us need to have more rest than what others need to have. And you say, well, you know, this person rests too much, you know, or you know. Again, let's not compare each other with each other, because each one of us, God has a purpose and a design for it. And again, this dove, as it went around, it found, the Bible says, it found no rest for its soul, for the sole of its feet. And so she returned, the Bible says, into the ark. She came back to the place of safety within the ark, and I really like where the Bible says he took her and pulled her, or it says then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him in the ark. And I can imagine my life sometimes when I get out there and I'm fluttering around like a dove and I can't find any rest and it just seems like the world's closing in on me. And as I head back, the key here is I head back to the ark, or as I head back to my place of prayer and my Bible studying, you know, I can just almost imagine, you know, the Lord extending his arm, and giving me a good surface to land on. Some things that God was showing me here from this. And then in verse number 10, again, it starts showing us Noah's great patience in faith. Folks, we as a church need to have great patience and faith in the things of the Lord. In verse number 10, it says, "And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again sent forth a dove out of the ark." Noah here in this situation probably I would say was very patient after almost a year of being in the ark. And sending out a dove, he waits another 7 days. You know, I think I'd have, you know, after the first day, you know, send out another dove. And after the second, you know, the second day, send out another dove. Third day, another dove. You know, I'd have kept sending them out until, you know, I got back an answer. But Noah didn't do that. Noah sent out a dove. That dove came back. Didn't have the answer he wanted. So Noah waited another 7 days. You know what I think Noah did during that 7 days? He spent some time praying. Because again, the purpose of sending out these two birds was looking for confirmation, was looking for proof, and looking for an answer from God. You know, sometimes folks in our prayer life, and when we're seeking an answer from God, we move too quickly. When we don't get the answer we want, or when we don't get the answer we think we should have, we don't wait. We don't go back. And I'm sure Noah went back and he prayed, and it says, and he stayed yet another 7 days. He didn't open up the door of the ark. He didn't try to leave the ark. He stayed right there within the protection, within the will of God for him, and in the protective place that God had made for him. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again sent forth a dove out of the ark. After praying another 7 days, he sent out, and again looking for the answer. And the Bible says, "And the dove came in unto him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off." Now it's interesting. We got to understand that is it said it was plucked off. So somewhere within the vicinity of where Noah was at, when he let that dove out in the morning, by evening, that dove came back and had plucked off of a live tree, a live olive tree, a leaf. And he brought it back to Noah. And so what we see here is after praying, after spending time and seeking direction from God, Noah sent out another dove and came back. You know what that olive leaf represented? Hope. Hope. Because again, the Bible says here in verse number 12, "And he stayed yet another 7 days." You know, even after getting the answer, even after getting some hope, you know, Noah didn't go down there and throw open the door and jump out of the ark or start hauling animals out of the ark. He waited yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him. Patience, patience. You know what I think Noah was doing again on that next week? He spent a lot of time with the Lord. Again, remember where Noah was at. You know, a lot of mistake that we make, folks, is we jump out of the boat too soon. We make decisions too fast. And when we don't get the answer that we think we should get from God, when we should get it. Because again, timing is important. We learned this in the book of Acts with Paul being on his journey to Rome. Had the sailing from Jerusalem to Rome worked as it normally did, Paul would have gotten to Rome much quicker, and I believe things would have turned out a lot differently. But after going through the storm, after being shipwrecked, after being marooned on an island for the winter, after getting snake bite and all that time, when Paul finally got to Rome, everybody that had problems with him in Jerusalem had already forgotten all about it. And so God has timing and God has purpose. And sometimes what we got to do is we got to be patient and wait on God's timing. And I want to encourage you to do that. And again, spend time in prayer. So he waited another 7 days. And after the end of that 7 days, he sent out a dove, and the Bible says, which returned not unto him again. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the cover of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Noah waited. He waited until he got confirmation. He got that hope. He got that olive leaf. And then he also waited another 7 days. And when that dove didn't come back, Noah was for sure that it was time to remove the covering. Noah knew for sure that it was time to come out of that protective place, or it was time for him to move on to another place, or it was time for him to go to another direction. And again, the only example that I really have for you folks is that I can think of is myself. I prayed every time God changed Tammy and I's direction. We spent time praying. Now, I shouldn't say every time, because when I was young in the ministry, I made some bad decisions. I made some rash decisions, and there were a couple of places along the way. Leaving wasn't wrong, but how I left was wrong. And again, like I said, leaving wasn't wrong, but how I left was wrong. And you know what God was teaching me? God was teaching me how to leave one place and move to another. And again, you know what God was teaching Noah here? God was teaching Noah how to wait on him and leave when it was God's time. Let me say it this way. Most of the time when Tammy and I changed direction in ministry, we prayed, we fasted, we read our Bibles, and we waited until God gave us confirmation from his word, and then we moved. Because again, what you got to understand is when God changes your direction, or when God moves, that doesn't mean that you're void of any further problems down the line. That doesn't mean that you're void of not running into problems. And again, Noah wasn't, because he was leaving the ark and because he was following God, and he was waiting and being patient, that didn't mean that Noah wasn't going to run into new obstacles. And that doesn't mean that Noah wasn't that Noah was going to live a problem-free life. But Noah wanted to make sure that when he moved and that when he did things, it was in God's timing, and it was when he was supposed to. And folks, one of the reasons why Tammy and I always made sure that we had scriptural confirmation before we moved or before we made a major decision in our life, because even when that major decision was right, And we got in the middle of that decision or the middle of that situation and wanted to quit and wanted to turn back, wanted to run and wanted to leave, I could go back to that verse and I could go back to that place in the Bible and say, okay, God, this is where you spoke to me. This is where you gave me confirmation. This is when you let me know that it was time to move from this place, go to that place. This was when you, it was time to let me know that this was it was time to move from this ministry to that ministry. And I had that confirmation. I had something to go back up on. Because a lot of times, folks, when we do things quickly, we also have a plan B. Plan Bs are not good. Plan Bs are not good. Because when the going gets tough, if you've got a plan B, that's what you're going to use. I promise you, every time, if you have a plan B is what you're going to fall back on. Because what you're saying is, God, I'm moving this direction, and if it doesn't work out like I want it to, well, I've got this plan over here. That's why we need to make sure that each and everything that we do, that we wait patiently, we make the decision based upon what God wants from our life, and we move. Because again, it doesn't mean that the problem's solved. It just means that you're heading into a new direction. And so I love it that Noah he got an answer, but he was very patient. And he waited. He was not in a hurry to move. He always waited. And I'll tell you what, as I think of Noah and him opening up this door, I'm sure it was a great blessing to Noah when he removed the covering of that ark and looked out and he saw, as the Bible says here, he saw that the face of the ground was dry. The Bible says here in verse number 14, it says, and in the second month, on the seventh and 27th, on the seventh and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. Now, again, if you'll back up to verse number 13, it says, in the 601st year of the first month, the first day of the month, was the waters dried up from off the earth. Now, I kind of find it interesting here when you look at verse number 14 and you look at the timestamp. And in the second month, on the seventh and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. Now, I kind of looked at that and I thought, okay, what's the difference between the two? Another month. You know what I think happened here? Even though Noah looked out and he saw that the waters weren't there, he waited another month. He waited some more time. Before he moved. When Noah knew it, when Noah knew it was the right time, he opened the ark. And folks, when we wait upon the Lord and we wait for the Lord's answer and he gives us the answer, then move. And if we do that, you know what? You know how it would help us out in our lives? We wouldn't be making nearly as many mistakes as we should have. And again, leaving may be the right thing to do, but is it the right time? Or is it the right way? These are all things that you have to weigh out. And again, you need to be very, very careful. If you know that where you are is where God wants you to be, and if you know that what you're doing is what God wants you to do, you better stay there until you have confirmation from God it's time to move. Because if you don't, what's going to wind up happening is you're going to have more trouble. You're bringing upon yourself more, because what you're doing when you jump out of God's timing and you jump out of God's place, you're also leaving the place of protection. Just think of what would have happened to Noah had he decided, Lord, I've been building this boat for 120 years. You said it's going to rain in 7 days. I am just tired of waiting. I'm tired of fooling around. You know, I'm going to head to the other side of where I am, and I'm not going to worry about it. Well, he would have missed the boat. Noah got into the protection of God. And as we read and we studied before, when he got in there, God closed the door. And what I find is interesting here is when Noah got his confirmation, the Bible says here that Noah removed the covering. But you know, Noah didn't remove the covering until he was sure he knew what God was wanting. You say, what can we learn from this passage of Scripture? Well, first of all, understand that there's safety where God puts you. You may go through the storm, but you're not in the storm. And there's a big difference. The people that were on the outside of the boat, they all died. The animals that were on the outside of the boat, they all died. Noah went through the storm. Noah experienced the breaking up of the fountains of the deep, and he experienced the windows of heaven coming down. He experienced the rain, and I'm sure, you know, he felt the rocking of the boat and the awesome responsibility that he was given. He was in the storm. He was in the judgment. But he was in the protective place of God. He went through the storm. He was not in the storm. You understand the difference there? And in our lives, we're going to be in storms. The question is, are you going to be in it? Or are you going to go through it? And again, as we think of this next year coming up, folks, there's some storms coming. You know, the only thing that's going to happen in January is we got a new set of fruitcakes in Washington. And if that's your hope, I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, you're in sad shape. And see, we got some storms that are coming up. But you know what I want to make sure? I want to make sure that I'm in the safe place. I want to make sure that I'm in where God wants me to be, so that as the storm comes, as the judgment comes, and folks, God is going to judge America. I believe that with all my heart. But you know what I don't have to worry about? What God's going to judge America for, I will be going through the storm. I won't be in the storm. Because no matter what they say, no matter how they do it, I ain't moving, I ain't bending, and I'm not bowing. So this is what we can learn from Noah. Anybody got any questions, any comments you want to put in there, add in? Noah had great patience, and he had great faith. And I would that in my life I had faith like Noah, and to just be patient and wait on God. Cleo? Yeah. Yeah. And again, as we was talking about, you know, God's timing, God's great, God's wonderful, So we'll go ahead and we'll close our Sunday school here in prayer, and then we'll get back together here in about 12 minutes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come to you in prayer, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for those who have come and attended Sunday school this morning. Lord, we thank you for those who are on their way and will be attending church. And Father, I pray for your will to be done. Lord, I pray that if there be anybody among us today that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that they would accept you as their Savior today. And Father, I pray that your will would be done in our church and amongst our people. And Lord, help us this year as we go through the storm. Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to stay in your protective place. Lord, I pray that you will help us to have patience. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have faith. And Lord, and just knowing that no matter what happens on the outside, we're on the inside and you're in control. And Lord, that you're remembering us, you're taking care of us, and you're guiding and directing us. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you're going to do. In your name we pray. Amen.